In the aquarium's darkened jellyfish gallery, 12-year-old Susie Swanson stands transfixed. While her classmates splash around touch tanks upstairs, she's drawn to these pulsing, translucent creatures that look like alien ballerinas dancing without music. It's been exactly 1 month since her former best friend Franny drowned, an explanation that makes no scientific sense to Susie. Franny was an excellent swimmer. How could she just drown? Here, illuminated by blue tank light, Susie discovers information about the deadly Irukandji jellyfish, so tiny yet lethal it could kill even strong swimmers. For the first time since Franny's death, something clicks. Her mother's explanation that sometimes things just happen feels wholly inadequate to Susie's scientific mind. But this makes sense. This could explain the inexplicable. Since Franny's death, Susie has stopped speaking. Not because she can't, but because she's decided words should matter. Either say something important or nothing at all. In her silence, she's discovered something unexpected. You can become invisible simply by staying quiet. And in this invisibility, she formulates her hypothesis. Franny didn't just drown, she was stung by an Irukandji jellyfish. Long before Franny's death came another loss, the slow dissolution of their friendship. These different girls found each other at age 5 by a swimming pool, where Franny made the first brave move. Susie, with her constant talking and encyclopedic knowledge, found someone who appreciated her random facts. Franny, who wrote her N's backward and flush when reading aloud, found someone who saw past these flaws. Middle school arrived like a tsunami, bringing social pressures that pulled them apart. "Everything changes after you tell me you like Dylan Parker," Susie recalls. "You become obsessed with your appearance, constantly tugging at your dress hem, checking mirrors, criticizing your hair." As Franny gravitated toward popularity with lip gloss and gossip, Susie remained unchanged, still fascinated by scientific facts. During a sleepover, they made a pact. If Franny ever became like that, Susie should signal her to return. But when Susie watched Franny transforming into someone beautiful but unrecognizable, her message came too late and too hurtfully to repair what was broken. As Susie explores jellyfish research, she finds striking parallels between these creatures and her emotional state. Jellyfish have survived for 600 million years, outlasting dinosaurs and enduring 5 mass extinctions while remaining essentially unchanged. The Turritopsis dorni, the immortal jellyfish, particularly fascinates Susie. These tiny medusas can reverse their life cycle when threatened, transforming back from adult form to a polyp stage. "Imagine if we could do that," Susie reflects. "Just say, oops, this is too hard, and shrink back to being kids again, safely tethered forever." This becomes a metaphor for her wish to return to simpler times before Franny died. Susie also discovers jellyfish populations are exploding worldwide, creating massive blooms that threaten marine ecosystems. Human activities, overfishing, pollution, and warming waters have created perfect conditions for jellyfish dominance. For Susie, this ecological crisis mirrors her own feelings of invisibility in an indifferent world. Convinced an Irukandji jellyfish killed Franny, Susie methodically searches for a jellyfish expert to confirm her theory. After evaluating numerous candidates, she discovers Jamie Seymour, an Australian professor specializing in deadly jellyfish. Jamie becomes Susie's perfect expert when she learns he survived an Irukandji sting. Despite being brushed on the lip and enduring 2 days of excruciating pain, he immediately returned to his research. "That's why I admire him," Susie explains. "He was stung but remained unchanged. He's fearless, forgiving, and has a sense of humor." With scientific precision, Susie plans an unauthorized trip to Australia. She copies her father's credit card, saves allowance money, and memorizes the route from Cairns Airport to Jamie's laboratory. For Susie, this journey represents her chance to prove that sometimes things just happen isn't acceptable, and to write a better ending to her friendship with Franny. Susie's research uncovers her friendship's painful end with Franny. During a sixth grade campout, Susie watches Dylan torture a frog. When he prepares to throw it against a tree, Susie silently begs Franny to intervene. Their eyes meet, but Franny turns away, laughing with others at the thud splat. That night, Franny spits on Susie's cheek as she pretends to sleep, confirming their friendship was over. On the last day of sixth grade, Susie delivers the big signal Franny once mentioned, "Shoot me if I ever become like that." In revenge, Susie freezes her urine and slips the discs through Franny's locker slats. When the commotion erupts, Susie watches, waiting for Franny to understand. But Franny never looks at her, just cries while bagging her soaked belongings. "You round a corner and disappear without ever looking at me," Susie recalls. This cruel act becomes Susie's unbearable burden, especially when Franny drowns that summer before she can apologize, explaining why she cannot accept the randomness of Franny's death. As Susie withdraws into silence, she finds refuge in Mrs. Turton's classroom during lunch, where she begins spending time with Justin Maloney, the class troublemaker known for hallway belly flops. Beyond his prankster reputation, Justin reveals surprising depth. He candidly discusses his ADHD medication. "If I don't take it, my brain goes all wacko." During their lab work, he names their dissection earthworm Thor to honor it, exposing genuine sensitivity beneath his clownish exterior. Their friendship develops gradually and authentically, without the complications that marred Susie's relationship with Franny. Justin nicknames her Belle after the jellyfish's bell, the only part you can touch without getting stung, demonstrating his understanding of her protective barriers. Susie's brother Aaron offers additional support, telling her, "Middle school sucks. When I was in seventh grade, all I wanted was to get out of there." This straightforward acknowledgement comforts her more than her parents' anxious hovering ever could. Susie's Australia journey collapses at the airline counter when she mistakes a visa for her father's credit card, revealing her scientific mind yet childlike innocence in an adult world. This failure becomes her turning point. Sitting on the airport floor, she finally acknowledges, even if Jamie confirmed a jellyfish killed Franny, she would still be gone. Silent apologies flow through her for not being who Franny wanted and for making her friend's time on this stupid little mote of dust harder. When her mother arrives, Susie breaks her silence. "I thought I could prove it, though no one understands how something impossible had become the only possible thing in her brief." This marks Susie's first step toward accepting that some questions lack satisfying answers, that sometimes we must live with uncertainty. She gradually emerges from isolation, attending the school dance and connecting with another lonely girl. Joining the dancing kids rather than observing symbolizes her return to connection. Through studying jellyfish, survivors of five mass extinctions, Susie discovers her own resilience. Unlike jellyfish, who just drift along unaware, humans may be fragile newcomers to this planet, but we're the only ones who can decide to change.